I looked up at the walls and I saw Harris was right. Carlos was in the fight. But I still hadn't moved. For the first time, I knew something was wrong with me. I was weak right now. They might have called it shell-shocked in an earlier time. I suspect my state of mind was even worse than that of men who'd been injured and driven half mad by combat. I was all those things. But I'd also been forced to consider my place in the universe at the same time.
"Listen, McGill," said Harris, still staring at me with those hard, hard eyes of his. "You've got to shake it off. We're in trouble tonight. There aren't supposed to be so many lizards out there. The big ones and the small ones are working together. That's when they're the most dangerous. They have both brains and power when they fight side by side."
"What about that thing I killed? That alien wasn't from Cankri 9.
"That's an unconfirmed report, but don't worry, I passed it up. Command will take care of it if there's anything that needs to be done. Now, are you ready to fight or not? I need every man I have up on that wall."
I nodded and stared back at him. I squeezed my rifle with both hands. "Yeah," I said. "I want to kill lizards. I want to kill all of them."
Harris laughed and thumped his steel gauntleted hands together. "That's what I want to hear. Get up there with your comrades. Let me see some of the crazy you showed me during training."
"Will do, veteran," I shouted, feeling new purpose. I turned and rushed up the steps. I might not have been as eager to go as Carlos had been, not yet, but I was into it now. My mind was closer to operating the way it should. The battle was in a lull when I reached the top. I took a spot next to Carlos and aimed my weapon into the night. I decided I was going to get some vengeance tonight. I thought to myself that I'd probably never had a real goal of substance in my entire life, something I wanted to do more than anything else, something that would make me growl with satisfaction when it was achieved. Now I had two burning desires. The first was to stay alive. The second was to kill these scaly monsters, big and small. I wanted to make a heaping pile of their bodies at the bottom of the wall, to watch them squirming and dying.
"It's quiet right now," Carlos whispered. "But it won't last. They say they've been coming in waves for the last hour."
"How many have you killed?"
"Two or three. It's hard to tell when everyone's shooting at the same saurian. Who got the kill shot, I'm not always certain."
I nodded. I wanted to get kill shots. Everyone did. After 10 tense, quiet minutes, the smoke had time to clear. I could see with my night vision visor, the enemy dead were already piled at the bottom of the wall. Carlos hadn't been kidding about the numbers. It looked like a saurian migration was underway, and we were directly in their path. The quiet vanished moments later.
"Ready up, people," Veteran Harris said in my helmet. "Don't spray, aim. Finish your target before choosing a new one. If they get to the top of the wall, stand your ground. We'll send reinforcements to your location. Don't let them breach our line and get inside."
These last words made me frown in my helmet. If they get to the top of the wall, how are they going to do that? Then they came at last, a vast, rushing mass of bodies, and I soon got my answer. I fired and fired, reloading and firing some more. The first rank consisted of juggers, big bastards, up to 20 feet tall. When they reached the wall, they leapt and snapped at the men at the top. Now and then they got lucky and managed to pull a screaming legionnaire over the side and down to a quick death. I aimed for the eyes, as the mouth and the huge bony heads were unaffected by my chattering light gun. It was our heavy troops, with their more powerful weapons, who saved the day. Their beam weapons slashed and burned the saurians. As I watched, I learned how to use heavy trooper weaponry against such a massive foe. We'd never been trained with anything better than a snap rifle, so I found this demonstration of firepower to be instructive. The beam weapons emitted a lance of force that shimmered and twisted with visible light. Like swords, they were 20 feet in length. They reached out and sliced away hunks of flesh from the enemy. I'd done this sort of thing in games, but it hadn't translated well. In real life, these weapons had to be handled with care. Any touch could tear a hole in a neighboring soldier. Each heavy trooper had to be fluid in motion, almost as if he was fencing with his energy lance.
They stabbed and thrust upward in most cases. This burned a hole in the jugger. Then, as they moved their arms up, the monster was eviscerated. Guts poured out in a torrent onto the stacked dead.
"These can't all be pissed off miners,"
Carlos shouted into my ear.
"What the hell are we into?"
"Just keep firing," I said. "Aim for the eyes. It's the only thing we can do that will affect them." When the juggers were beaten back in a ragged, retreating line, we thought we'd won. But then, the next wave hit. A line of raptors had snuck up behind their massive cousins. These smaller, smarter lizards had been busy while we struggled with the juggers. They were setting up devices of some kind, tripods with cables and coils underneath. I realized in an instant what was going on.
"Duck!"
I shouted. It wasn't a moment too soon. Gouts of energy burned the air, impacting the walls and any man who was still firing his weapon over the battlements. The heat was so great that the beams caused anything they touched to combust into flames. Men and women fell, struggling all around me. They curled up and died, shivering and wreathed in flame. Even the walls themselves weren't immune. The puffcrete was tough, but the enemy weapons were powerful. Scorch marks appeared everywhere, and chunks of our walls began popping in a series of miniature explosions.
"Keep down, squad,"
I heard in my helmet. It was Veteran Harris.
"Those are mobile batteries. I don't know where they got them, but up close like this they'll create such a temperature difference between anything they hit and anything they miss, they'll blow it apart."
"You think they can take down our walls?"
Carlos asked me as we hunkered down behind the battlements. They fired another volley before I could answer the question. The second wave of beams that came at us was narrower in focus. Instead of splashing heat and flame over everything, it punched hard with rays of energy 3 feet wide. The burning streaks drilled fiery holes in our walls and vaporized screaming troops on the inside. I looked up and saw chunks of smoking puffcrete pop overhead, showering me with rubble.
"If they're allowed to keep firing, I'm sure they will," I said.
"Okay," Veteran Harris said again in my suit radio. "I have new instructions. When the big guns on the towers open up, every recruit is to get up and pepper the enemy gunners with fire. They'll be distracted, don't worry. All right. Wait for it. Wait for it."
He didn't have to tell us when the big weapons went into action. We couldn't miss it. Up until now, the heavy weapons in the towers had stayed silent. Perhaps our commanders had decided to hold them in reserve to surprise the enemy when they were needed. This was the moment, apparently, that they'd been waiting for. Every weaponeer rammed his heavy cannon out a gun port from the tower and unloaded. All around me, recruits were standing and firing. I joined them. It was nice to be important again. The heavy troops and their armor stayed hunkered down. They weren't armed with the optimal weaponry for distant, soft targets. That was the role of recruits with snap rifles. Stricken with withering counterfire, the enemy gun crews were quickly taken down. Those that survived left their weapons and fled into the forest. The counterstrike was successful, but it was costly. Many of those who participated were burned to death. Their bodies were everywhere all along the wall tops. Many had fallen to lie in heaps on the ground behind the walls as well. But we'd won the day. A ragged cheer went up when the firing stopped. The smoke cleared, and we saw dawn was just touching the sky with pink light. I looked at Carlos, and he grinned back. We were overjoyed, if only because we were still alive.
"Veras!" roared a voice. 1,000 other throats joined in.
I did the same, swept up with emotion. Chapter 10. Later on, when the battle quieted, I slumped down and fell asleep at my post. This was far from unusual. At least half the troops on the wall were sleeping by midday. We were exhausted. The lizards hadn't come since dawn, but there had been an endless amount of work to be done. The worst part had been removing our dead. Unlike past armies, we didn't imbue our fallen comrades with special meaning. We didn't bury them with flags and expensive caskets. Those honors were only for permadead troops. What would be the point of holding a ceremony and a funeral for a man who stood nearby, hale and healthy? But we did need the equipment on the bodies.
Clearing out the dead, then, became a grisly task. I felt like a grave robber in the morning, stripping the dead and dumping them into pits for mass burial. The Saurian corpses weren't as bad, as I didn't care much about them. We used power machines with scoops to scrape them from our walls and roll them into hastily dug graves.